SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. The Pits, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. A lot of people question Jordan Binnington coming into the Four Nations. And I was pretty positive about him, right? Besides, I won't lie, after a couple of drinks in the first game against Team USA, I did tweet, Logan Thompson would have stopped that.
I'm guilty, too.
So, I'm not imperfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Logan Thompson probably would have stopped that, huh? You know? Like,
right? Yeah, exactly. But
I also had his back. I mean, I even tweeted out before the game. I said, everyone, I know you're worried about Binnington. I said, he'll be fine. Don't worry. And then, boom, he was. But you know, Binnington, he's a surly dude. Like, let's just call it out for what it is. He hears everything that everybody said about him. And I guess Brian Hayes at TSN was not very complimentary of Binnington going into the tournament. And Binnington went on his show today and ended the interview by saying that he was a fraud. And then he kind of like, yeah, it was at the end of the interview, too. But I see other TSN personalities are also tweeting it. Kara Wagland, ha ha, Jordan Binnington with the mic drop, Hayes is a fraud. Legendary move. He's got like his own TSN people are like jumping on.
Amazing.
Now.
That's the best.
Yeah, but the show is retweeting it and stuff. Exactly. But what's going to happen now is other people are going to jump in and go, oh, it's true. He does suck, right? I'm not saying he does, but that's just the way Twitter works. Now it is, Twitter's always just sort of been pretty That's negative, cool. But yeah, I don't really get it too bad, to be honest. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, once in a while, some random, you know what I mean? There's a few psychos out there actually, but you know, it is what it is in today's social age, but you can tell Twitter has taken a turn recently for more just go F yourself. Like, just it's just a constant. I try to stay pretty positive, actually. And I, you know, I'm just posting pics and my videos and stuff. I don't get involved. Like, a good example, Cam, is, like, every night, like, I'm looking right now. I'm surprised they're not arguing right now. Like, Pizzola's into this stuff.
Pizzola,
no,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Pizzola.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but Pizzola, like, all these gamblers, like, go head-to-head now, and they fight. Like, big man on campus called out Taylor Mathis, and she called him back out. And, like, I don't have time for that stuff, bro. Like, I really don't care what, like, I don't care what someone thinks about me. Or I don't have time to think, like, my best advice to people in this world is, if you want to be successful, don't worry about other people, right? Don't worry about what you're doing. Like, Joey Odessa once had a good line about that. Joey goes, I'll post a pic on Twitter. But he goes, I don't bet to post pics on Twitter. I bet to make money. That's what he told me once. There's people like that. Like, you know, all these handicappers are arguing who's the best and stuff like that. Guys, there's real good gamblers right now in a lot of casinos and online and stuff. You don't know who they are. And they want it that way. And these guys are crushing books for, like, a lot of money and stuff like that, right? I remember in New York at FanDuel, there was a dude, and they pretty much told me, they said, this guy is kind of one of the guys that gets us the most. And I said, really? And the guy was betting like 50K a game, and, 100K a game, 50K a game, and he was winning. He was super, like, private about it. Like, he didn't want people knowing what he was betting and how much money, and, like, he used to come in, tried, like, dress down so much, like, people would catch on. It's a fine line. If you walk in looking like you're homeless, people notice you, too. It's like my boy Gary at the book, right? I walk into the bathroom at the Meadowlands, Gary, you can see his ass crack, his pants are down, he's, like, taking a shower, and, like, doing, like, a quick thing in the bathroom.
That's the worst.
And I'm like, man, this guy is unbelievable. And then they told me, they go, yeah, people don't know it, man. They go, this guy, like, goes, this guy bets like $2,000-$3,000 on NFL games and wins all the time. Like people, he goes, he just sort of plays it up that he's like this. Like a lot of weirdos, right? Especially in New York, you get all types. Like, you know what I'm saying? You get all types in casinos. So 59-51 right now, the Houston Cougars, this is what they do. They whatever, the teams are sort of close with them. Houston go, when you go to Houston, they just mess you up. But when Houston go on the road against these good teams, the games are always kind of close, but Houston are always the ones that seemingly are up. And then in the last, like, 3, 4, 5 minutes, Houston always just pull away in these games. We saw it in Arizona last week. They're just a damn good road team. And these teams are good teams, right? Arizona's good. Although I was at a concert, I didn't see that controversy with the Arizona fans.
Oh. BYU game?
Yeah, with their chanting anti-Mormon stuff.
Yep.
Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's sort of like that sort of stuff you would get online. But, like, everything's so volatile now. Like, I remember, like, guys, like, 30 years ago or so, like, some of these crowds were really nasty. Like, they would talk, like, Steve Kerr's father got killed. They mocked him. Arizona State, something about that state of Arizona, Cam, and nasty fan chants.
It's horrible.
Nebraska and Colorado used to be really over the top with each other and stuff. You know? People got to chill out with this stuff, right?
I agree.
So BYU beat you. You don't have to call it their religion. Plus, all the kids on the team. How many kids on the team are really Mormon? What are you really doing? They're not. You don't have to be Mormon to go to BYU. You just have to follow their rules.
I just don't understand. It's the whole world thing. Like people just, there's nothing now that's out of bounds, or it's just that's the way
no,
it is.
You said no.
It's ridiculous. Like, I'm to your point, Gabe, I post like Simpsons stuff on Twitter. I just want everyone to have a good time. We make bets, we win, we lose, we do whatever, but there's no line anymore. There's no, like everybody is just like, before you'd have a couple psychos. Hey, remember we went to games like UNLV and BYU, Mormons versus the gamblers, the devils. It'd be, you know, there's a couple guys going at it, but it wasn't like it is now. It's personal. It's vile. It's kind of sickening, actually, when you think about it. Like, there's no buffer. There's nothing. It's just anything goes, and that's a problem.
Well, what it is now is the bullies have sort of won, in a sense, where, like, if you complain about anything, then you're just soft. So people, right? So it goes, like, you know, you got to either fight back or, right? And you just end up in the cesspool, or you end up in the mud. With everybody else. But there's a famous saying, never argue with an idiot in the town square. People might not be able to tell which one is the idiot. So that's like a famous thing to remember when you start to get into it with people. All right, so this Texas game won't stop. Or the Texas Tech game just keeps going on. There's under 2 minutes remaining here. But the Colorado game has already started, even though it's on TV following on the same network on ESPN here. So it should be noted that Texas and Colorado... Colorado and Kansas have begun right now. And Kansas are winning 10-4, Cam, so it's a good time to jump in, actually.
Yeah, I think so. Gabe, there's a tennis match.
You're getting
going
a better
on.
Number now on Colorado.
I agree. I'm going to get on Colorado with you and Double D. I know he liked Colorado as well. Tommy Paul's playing this Canadian, Gabe. Have you seen this Gabe Diallo guy? I've been following him a little bit. He's actually been really, really good. He's this new Canadian tennis player.
Yeah, I know him a bit. I saw that kid. The Canadian kid.
Figured it out. Anyway, he's plus 240 against Tommy Paul. I'm not going to say he's win, but he's plus four on the sets.
That's tough
on the game
against Tommy Paul, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to take him on the game spread and just see how it has. But he played him before and he played him tight. So watch out, guys, for Gabe Diallo. There are a lot of young Canadian tennis players that are doing really, really well right now.
I saw Canada won like this... the ice dancing world championships or something over the USA over the weekend. I'm thinking, really? They just keep winning. Now you want to step it up again now and bet against Tommy Paul.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All We roll in the Monday Night Meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I'm Moretzi, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Kansas are leading Colorado 14-4. They're not playing around right now. Houston just hit a big-time three as Texas Tech cut the lead to three. And looked like he just got fouled, but they didn't call it. These refs aren't calling anything right now. Houston are up 65-59 on Texas Tech, and I don't know what the hell Texas Tech are doing not fouling them. They literally just let 10 seconds get off the clock, although I think the ref could have called it. But now Houston are about to ice this. The total is sort of close right now, but it looks like it's going to fall short when it's all said and done. Basically, they'll take the free throws here, and then we'll see what happens if Texas Tech hit a three or not. But if they don't, then it's game, set, match. And we're also losing the Charlotte bet right now. 65-45 for the Sacramento Kings. They're up by 20 on the Hornets. NHL hockey, 1-0 for the LA Kings. We are on the Kings. 1-0 for the Kings over the Vegas Golden Knights right now. -210. Vegas are +165. In-game total is 5.5. I think we got George Kurtz ready to step up and in. Captain Chalk in the house, who got a late win with the Winnipeg Jets, I think, tonight. Did you, George?
Yes, he did.
I called it live on the air.
Yes, you did.
Come on, that was easy. That was easy, of course. Morrissey scores with 25 seconds. As soon as he scored, I'm like, all right, got the win. All right, yeah, you knew they'd win in overtime. So Morrissey and Scheifele.
Settle down, George. Nothing could have lost in a shootout or overtime.
Nah, they were going to win once they it was inevitable.
I counted. That was a green check mark, baby.
Okay. It's okay. I love you, George.
Yeah, I think it was kind of 67-59 right now. For the Houston Cougars, Texas Tech just got fouled, taking a three, so they got three free throws coming up. But they're in trouble late. Sampson's not happy with that foul with his players. He's really losing it right now. And 16-6 for Kansas. So what did you parlay with, though, George? Because they were such big favorites tonight. And how about this? The Winnipeg Jets were +600, Kurtz, right before they scored. That's what it was with like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I didn't take that. I had company over the house. I really couldn't play any in-game here. I didn't touch the game itself here between the Kings and the Golden Knights. Only because the Golden Knights, they don't score a lot of goals here. So, therefore, the parlay is the under. Give me the under in the Kings Golden Knights here. So, I want to see them get out of this period without Vegas scoring a power play goal here.
Yeah, it's still 5.5 right now. I was thinking about the in-game under myself. And they just got out of the period, actually. It's still 5.5. It's -165.
Yeah, that's a lot of juice, but that's the play.
Vegas can't score of late. They're winning games, but they're not scoring goals of late. And the Kings generally don't score either. So I kind of thought that was a...
They have played to the over the last two times they played. I brought it up earlier. They have played to the over the last two times they played, but you're right. Vegas have actually been a pretty good under team. You saw what was 3-1 against Vancouver with their first game back, and L.A. don't want to get into track meets with teams. Sometimes they do, but it's not what they want to do. They're just so good at home, too, like controlling the tempo and the pace of hockey games. 18-3. They've only lost three games in regulation on home ice this year. That's unbelievable. Think about it. Like, we're almost in March right now, and they've only lost three times in regulation on home ice, the L.A. Kings.
That's fantastic. That is really fantastic. The Kings are a good – they're the same team they are every year, aren't they? They're a good, solid team, but probably not really good enough to – they can win a round. They can beat anybody in a round, but to beat – are you going to beat Edmonton, Vegas, and Winnipeg? I mean, they're not good enough to do all that. And by the way, now that Shea Theodore got hurt in the Four Nations, right, aren't we just waiting for him to go on long-term IR so that Vegas can make another addition here and everybody can bitch about it forever? How can they acquire this guy and be, you know, $8 million over the cap because of that?
Some other team should try the old Tampa Bay Vegas two-step trick. They do it every year. Why are people watching it happen? Put these guys on and do it yourself. Then, if the rules say do it, Gabe, do it. They're the only teams that capitalize on it. Get with it.
They'll spend money. Right?
Because other teams. Kurtz just nailed it. Other teams will somewhat complain about it. Point blank, they could do it, but they're going over their budget. You know what I mean? They're bringing in another player. They're signing. They're spending more money. So other teams don't want to spend more money. Like you said, like at least Vegas, the owners, Foley's like, yeah, let's make ourselves better. If we can make ourselves better, it's within the rules. And the thing is, he is hurt, right? It is what it is. They, you know what it was? the guy on the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa hired the guy that was like came up with all those rules. All right. And Vegas like hired him away. Like Vegas, like they actually have the guys that like worked at the NHL office and like invented all these sort of like loopholes. And it's just smart business, though. Right. I mean, if you're an NHL team, you should also have like a capologist, a lawyer that understands these contracts and understands loopholes in these contracts. Look at the LA Dodgers with the deferred stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone freaked out. It's like, well, you're allowed to do it. You could do it yourself as well, right? I mean, it's all within the rules, Kurtz. I don't have a problem with Vegas doing it.
No, me either. Listen, I'd rather a team try than just, oh, no, we're done. You know, some teams don't even care, right? The owners don't care. They just want to make a profit.
I don't like the faking the injury stuff, though. That's where it gets gray area.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole, like, thing.
Like, how can we tell?
With suspensions as well, by the way, when someone gets hurt. I'm a big believer when someone gets hurt on a dirty play, that the player who did it should be out as long as the player's out for, but you need an independent doctor. And same thing for this. For someone that's going on long-term IR that allows us to get an independent doctor. Oh, yeah, this guy is out 8 to 12 weeks. This is the injury here. You know, and I'm fine with that. If an independent doctor, not the team doctor, says, hey, yes, he's got a fractured ankle. He's out 8 to 12 weeks. Then, hey, they're fine. What do you want him to do? He's hurt. He's legitimately hurt. Anybody really think Theodore's faking this? He missed the Four Nations Cup.
Exactly. He didn't want to like, go there and then not play. Like, you know what I'm saying? 69-61. The game stays under because Texas Tech just missed a they missed a three at the buzzer. If that goes in, the game goes over. It gets to the 133. But Houston Cougars survive again. This is what they do. 69-61. They just won at least a share of the Big 12 title. They're going to end up winning the Big 12 title when it's all said and done. This is a damn good Houston Cougar basketball team that I think is going to the Final Four. And then whatever, anything can happen. They don't call March Madness for nothing, so it's not like every SEC team is going to be in the Final Four. The Monday Night Meltdown continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Monday Night Meltdown continues. Kansas off to a quick start tonight in Boulder against the Buffaloes, 26-16. It's a higher scoring game. We like the over this game as well. We got in game, what was the number we got? Plus 12.5. So we got plus 12.5 with the Buffs right now. They're getting 10.5 as we speak. In game total is currently 151.5. And Charlotte are sort of trying to come back. They're down by 16 with 10 minutes left in the third. Maybe they can go on a run. We're getting like 10.5 with them. Mexico and Canada, you got this FIBA qualifying stuff going on. I don't know who the hell's playing for Team Canada right now, but they're playing against Mexico. 96-92 for Mexico. Canada were 3.5-point favorites in this game. I didn't take it. It's like a bunch of it's none of the NBA players, obviously, right? So, and Mexico sort of had their international team more so. So I thought it was a trap for Canada. I didn't bet it. They're losing by 2 right now with 9 seconds left. We got George Kurtz in the house, Cam Stewart with us. So we'll get into some baseball. Kurtz has got some home run futures he's already taken a look at. We'll get back to the hockey, actually. Well, Kurtz, you know, I saw Steinbrenner. He really doesn't make it easy on himself, does it, bro? When he basically said, we don't need to spend money. Why? Spending money's not going to help us win, right? And, like, I sort of got it, like, in a sense of, you know, it's about getting good players and stuff like that. But you're the owner of the New York Yankees. People are already suspect of you and stuff. And then you roll it out. And then now you lift this facial hair thing. And... you know, Michael Kay says, oh, it's a seismic shift in baseball that this happened. I'm like, well, it should have happened like 30 years ago. And I don't think it's really going to change anything, to be honest with you. Right. I mean, like, this is your big, it's almost getting Jerry Jones-ish right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is our big offseason move. Yeah.
That's a great comparison. Like, yeah. And why would you even implement a rule like that when you could lose a player because of what? Facial hair? It's just stupid. You're right. Like, come on, guys. You're 4 decades too late, baby. Good call.
And what his analytics are. That's why the coach doesn't matter, right? The head coach doesn't matter for the Cowboys because it's Jerry Jones. Well, the manager doesn't matter for the Yankees because it's Cashman, right? He makes all the moves there. So it's very similar here. Hal Steinbrenner is not George Steinbrenner, all right? George, listen, he would do anything he could to win, right? Hal wants to make money. All right, he does. For whatever reason, they want to win, but he's not willing to do everything it takes to win. Remember, he said when the payroll went over $200 million, we shouldn't need to spend $200 million to win a World Series. And then it keeps crawling. We should need $300 million to win a World Series. And it keeps going up and up and up. Stop making bad contracts, right? The Stanton, Ellsbury, and guys like that. Maybe you don't have to worry about $300 million. But it is what it is. But, I don't want to hear Hal talk either. The facial hair thing, I think it's been 49 years. It should have been ended a long time. It's a dumb thing. All right? I mean, maybe you don't want to look like ZZ Top, maybe. But other than that, if you can play well, I don't care what you wear. I don't care. If I'm the owner, don't care. You're winning games? Don't care. You know, go out and win games. Some people think it's because of your boy, Cam, that they're going to make a move at Vladimir Guerrero. And that
he said, the things about the Yankees in the past, they're in the past. And him and Judge, you little huggy-huggy. Yeah, I know. Course. I don't know what I'm seeing right now.
Even if Vladimir truly didn't want to be a Yankee and he hated the facial hair thing, you would still say, oh, yeah, I want to be a Yankee. You want to drive that price up. So you would always say that. Just not fine with the Yankees. But it's just silly here. Devin Williams apparently was all upset because he had to shave. I do wonder this, though. If you were going to rescind the policy, why not do it before the players report at the camp? You know, they all shaved already.
Well, I was going to ask you that, actually. This is probably something that they should have done in, like, December or, like, you know what I mean, in November. So the free agent class, everyone would know, all right, listen, they're easing up on this stuff a little bit. Plus, I don't know, who knows about that whole mother stuff with Soto and parking spots and, right, you know what I mean? That's the type of stuff that does get around with other players. And I saw that firsthand, like, there was a player, it was funny, there was a player on the Expos that used to have, like, he had, like, six kids, and they're all in, the hallway, like, waiting for them to come out of the clubhouse. And he used to, like, fill up, his bag with all the food, the player's food and stuff, like, for his family. He was feeding his kids. It's like, dude, you're making, like, $4 million a year. Like, you don't have to take all the smoked meat sandwiches on the way out, right? But he did. And, like, you know, someone has to talk to him about it, right? Like, you know what I mean? So some players, he wasn't a big enough star. Like, he stopped, he chilled out a little bit, but he wasn't happy. And you could tell he was trying to figure out who snitched him out.
That's good. Well, Vince Carter at the parking spot too, Gabe. Controversy there. It happens a lot in sports.
Vince Carter's mother used to just park her car in players' spots.
Yeah,
she just parked wherever she wanted, and people were like, dude, like, come on, man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Moretzi. The Colorado Buffalo is going a little bit of a run right now. They've cut the lead to 6. They were getting punched in the mouth early. It's 26-20 right now. They're still getting 10.5. In-game total is 152.5. The Kings, too. The Kings were up big. There's been a night of comebacks, actually, guys. The Blazers were beating the Utah Jazz big. Suddenly, it's a one-point game with 4 seconds left. Minnesota came back and beat Oklahoma City. And the Charlotte Hornets have cut the lead to 12, so they're battling here in the second half to see if they can keep this run going. And Colorado were down big, and suddenly they're only down 6 with 7.5 left in the first half. All right, so baseball season, spring training games have begun. Kurt's got some regular season home run props that he put in here. I'm going through the list, and we'll start off with your Yankees, Cody Bellinger. Feels weird to say the New York Yankees and Cody Bellinger, actually. I'm seeing 22.5, Kurtz. You might be getting a better number. I'm seeing 22.5 minus 110 for Cody Bellinger home runs this year.
Yeah, I got 20.5, but I took this about 2 weeks ago, I would say. So the number's gone up here. I just don't see how he doesn't hit even 23, by the way. How does he hit this if he gets hurt? He plays 150 games, Yankee Stadium. Now, granted, he swings. I mean, he's never getting cheated, so his home run is generally a longer variety here, but still Yankee Stadium here. He better get this. I'll tell you, you're a Yankee fan. He doesn't get 23. Yankees, they'll look like they don't have Stanton anytime soon. They don't have a third baseman here. He's going to be the protection for Judge. If he can't get 23, I think this may not be going well in the Bronx.
I'm seeing a projection for him for 20 home runs and 76 RBIs. Which I think is a little light as well. As you talk about, like, there's sort of a thing, oh, Bellinger gets hurt. He really doesn't, right? I mean, he had a couple of rough seasons with the Dodgers, and he had rough seasons sort of psychologically, right? That's my one concern with him, guys. I don't think he's made for New York. And you're always talking about it, George, but, this guy won't fit, or it won't work in New York for different reasons or whatnot. And it is true. I remember Sam Darnold, day one. I was like, this will not work in New York for him. Like, he's not a New York type of dude. He's not going to like it. I remember he was wearing, like, a big winter jacket once, and it wasn't even that cold out. Like, it was like, you're doomed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not, right? And thing with Bellinger is, I think he'd be good on a team, like, on Seattle or something. Or even on the Blue Jays. Like, somewhere where it wasn't, like, this sort of immense sort of pressure. The pressure in L.A. was real, and it was a problem, and he sort of lost it. Like, he couldn't hit suddenly, but he can hit home runs, this guy. He's not going to hit for power. He's not going to hit for average, but he is going to smoke home runs. And so he hit 18 last year, Kurtz, 26 the year before, 19. Is your selling point here that Yankee Stadium is the difference, that he's going to go over this number?
That's one of them. The other difference is he's either hitting behind Judge or in front of Judge. That's a whole lot of fastballs, right? That's a whole lot of fastballs he's going to see there. He's not going to have to guess too much, and they got to pitch to him. They can't pitch around him here. He's averaged, 135 games over the last three seasons. I'll take that. You give me 135, and once again, that means one stint on the IL. He should hit, like I said, I can't see him. He's not going to hit 40. And I don't even know if he'll hit 30-plus here. I can't see him not hitting 25, 28. I think he's in a great spot here. But your point is valid. It is the Yankees. It is the Bronx. It is the media. He gets off to a rough start in April.
He's hitting 197 and stuff, bro, which is possible, right? Like, when he gets cold, he gets cold. You know what I'm saying? He swings at everything, you know?
And the fans will kill him. They'll crush him if he's getting up to that kind of slow start here. So that is the one worry. It's a valid worry with anybody. Paul Goldschmidt's the same worry, by the way, that once again, you're not hitting. Yeah, you know, the fans aren't going to – they want to win now. They're not going to wait until July for you to start hitting. If any of these guys gets out to the – remember Judge last year in April? He was horrendous. And the fans crushed him. So they'll crush Bellinger. They'll crush Gold. They'll crush anybody here. So it's a valid –
You guys will boo anybody. You guys would boo
Babe
Ruth.
Yeah. Yes. Relax.
Mantle, DiMaggio, Gehrig.
Everyone's gotten booed. I said, it's like the Yankee fan think it's the right to, like, to boo everybody. Speaking of which, Juan Soto, his prop is 32.5. What do you think of that, Kurtz? 32.5. And what about this new stadium now?
I mean, he was never really considered a true home run hitter. Yankee Stadium, of course, he got the bump. They're also hitting in front of Judge certainly
and
helped.
And hitting in front of Judge, exactly.
Right. So I think the number's right. But that being said, the Mets better score a lot of runs because they're losing pitchers by the day now, right? Montas is gone. Manaea is now gone here. I told you last week, at least I think I told it on this show, I think the Mets are going to be a great over team. A lot of 9-7 games coming here. They could score a truckload of runs with that offense, but their pitching staff's not going to be very good at all here. I wouldn't bet the under. That's the bottom line here. I'm not taking the under. It's either take the over.
What did he have last year? 42? Top of my head, 42?
41, but it was over 40.
Yeah, I think that's so different line. He does have Lindor though, and Alonso too, so he's going to have protection here too. But he'll be the centerpiece.
Right field, you know, he'll lose those. But remember,
what about that wins total? Like, that division's tough, man. Philadelphia's still good.
I don't think they get
the Braves. I'm kind of with you, George. Their pitching reeks. Like, they're going to have to outslug them every game.
You really think Sanders making anywhere near 30 starts? You just thought your number two starter, Montas, was your number four. After that, you got what, Peterson and McGill and all this other crap.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, Cohen keeps talking and everyone, Yankee fans upset that Cohen got Soto, but he didn't do anything with the pitching. It's kind of pointless almost. Like you said, like you can have that lineup, but that's, you know, the rotation is a serious problem and they're already injured. Right? I mean, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand why they didn't say, all right, listen, like, whether we love these other pitchers or not, just go out and get them. Get Corbin Burns. Give them the damn money. Right? Overpay. Like, you know what I mean? Cohen has the money where it really doesn't matter. And in fact, one thing that Cohen does do, unlike the Yankees, Cohen spends the most money pertaining to the revenue. Remember we talked about it? Like, he puts, like, literally, like, 86% of the money back in. like, he gets all the money for the Mets, and it's, like, all back in because he doesn't care. The guy's, like, a multi-billionaire. He's literally one of the richest men in the world. So, you know what I mean? He spends all the money that he can, but I don't understand why. They did with the pitchers, but they got the vet guys. It didn't work, right? And then they just sort of gave up on it.
What they're saying here is that Stearns, the GM, doesn't believe in handing out multi-year deals to pitchers or mega multi-year deals, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. He just doesn't want to do it. And he's not wrong, by the way. We all know. Listen, Max Fried, okay, solid signing, but the Yankees are going to eat it the last 3 years of that deal. He's not going to be worth that price. Stearns doesn't want to do that. But in my mind, that's small market thinking. I understand you're thinking like
what
that.
What if the Mets got like a Blake Snell? That'd be more dangerous. I'm just saying.
Yes.
You know, it's obvious.
Agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Sure. And now they're saying here that like Stearns, they need starters now as far as who's left on the market, like Jose Quintana, who'd only get like a 1 year, $10 million deal. But because of where the Mets are with the luxury tax, that $10 million deal is now $21 million. You know, so everybody he signs now is double as far as what he's paying. But as you said, you're the richest owner in baseball. Who cares? If you want to win, you better go sign or you better make a trade. The Mets have a great farm system. They could go out and get somebody, but you may have to wait until late June, July for that, and maybe too late by then.
And not to mention, too, you got a couple of years. Who knows what the rules are going to be after? Like some of the other owners are going to be coming after the Mets and Dodgers with this stuff, mm-hmm. right? Although I don't think they're going to their bluff will be called. Right, with the salary cap stuff. Like Major League Baseball, like there'll be too many of the owners who will not want to have to spend as much money if they actually squeeze the cap in. Right? They said, all right, but you gotta spend $175 million then. Right? Like they're not gonna go for it. They'll be like, all right, you know. And the whole thing is too, there isn't a big money problem in baseball right now. Like I've gone over it a million times as far as teams just don't want to spend money, but players aren't even making that much money. Like Soto and Ohtani got money. Okay. Whatever, dude. Teoscar Hernandez is a great player. He was available for over a month. He spoke with all these teams. He ended up going back to LA for $23 million a year. You know, no one blew him away with an offer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. The Monday Night Meltdown continues. Baseball season's around the corner. So is March Madness. We got March Madness and baseball starting at the same time, essentially, with the Dodgers and Cubs on, what is it, March 18th and 19th in Tokyo. We know that Yamamoto is going to start game one. I would imagine it'll be Sasaki in game two. They just don't want to, they didn't you put too much pressure on him too early here. You got to see him pitch first as well, right? How many days until March 18th right now? 22 days. Man, it's coming. So we're a little more than 3 weeks away. And then everyone else starts earlier than normal too, March 27th, the following Thursday. So leave it to baseball, actually, right, to start, like, you know, head-to-head with the Sweet 16 and March Madness and all that.
Exactly. But, we used to start opening day, like, April 4th. Like, I remember my birthday. Yeah. It was, like, April 4th. That was the day. Like, it was that's opening day. Start off with the Reds game at noon. And, like, what are we doing, Morenci?
They have to do this so that we don't play World Series in mid-November. Or else you'll be playing World Series while we're having American Thanksgiving. That's
what we're exactly. They had to start earlier. And it's actually a good thing. It's just a little, it feels off like it's, I don't really have a problem with it, but you're exactly right, Kurtz. I mean, all these playoffs and stuff. I mean, you're getting into November now. They got, you know what I mean? The weather wasn't that bad in New York last year, and it was in LA too.
Why can't they? It's a baseball season. 6 months, 162 games. Why can't you start April where only the dome teams and the warm weather teams, let them be the home team?
Yes,
I mean, exactly. You play March here. You guys know. You play March in Yankee Stadium or Boston or
Philadelphia. Yeah, I don't. I've never understood that either. Why does it? Because not everybody, but you could really do a better job with it between dome teams and this. The other thing that's weird too, though, is you look. Like, look, the Dodgers home opener, they're playing against the Cubs in Tokyo, but they're playing the Detroit Tigers. Like, interleague play, home opener, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Yanks have Milwaukee.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, big tradition there, Kurtz, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, they should be an open up against Baltimore or Boston or Toronto. Like, it should be a division team.
Yeah,
like, you should start off the season with a bang against a division team. Not, you know, the Dodgers, oh, the Detroit Tigers come to town.
I remember, Gabe, a couple of years ago, the Minnesota Twins opened up before, and they literally had, like, the first, like, nine games or whatever. It was, like, snowing. It was, like, remember that, George? Yeah. It was a gong show. It's, like, what are you guys doing? Like, no, this can't happen. It's freezing.
As far as Gabe's thing, by the way, I wonder if the reason why they do that, Gabe, is because opening day is going to sell out anyway. So why not put a team there where you may have some issues, right? The Dodgers sell no matter what, but let's get rid of a bad team. This way, you know, in the third week in, I don't know, June, when you're facing whatever, you'll also get tickets for that. So I sort of get that. I don't like it, but I sort of get it. I also wonder if it's because you only play 12 or 13 games against your division rivals now. Maybe they don't want to do that opening day, you know, where mainly, you know, one team may be a little beat up and sprint, whatever. You know, so I don't mind it.
I think you're onto something there because you're right. Like, you notice, like, the Dodgers, whenever they play the Yankees every year, I know because I went, it's always the same time, Kurtz. Like, it's like July 1st. Like, they want it in the middle of the summer. Like, they want it on the TV, the Fox, and another thing, too, the networks, too, want these big profile games on TV, right? Yeah, they want to waste these big matchups, like, early in the season and not have people see it, right? So I kind of get it. But you guys want a, for people tuning in, this is a wild thing for baseball betting. The Tampa Bay Rays, so the Rays stadium got destroyed and by the hurricane. So they got to play in Tampa. And they're playing at George Kurtz's Yankees AAA, their spring training stadium, right? So George Steinbrenner Field. And they're playing 47 of their first 59 games at home. Like, that's just, like excessive. It's like 47 of their first 59 games are at home.
Every day in Tampa. By the way, I'm going to two of those games I think April 18th and 19th or 17th and 18th. I'll be at George Steinbrenner Field versus the Rays. So it works out when I'm on vacation. So I'll go see it
there.
So
it goes one or both ways for them, though, right? Like, do they rack up a bunch of wins playing in the same stadium, never traveling all the time? Or do they not, and they're getting lit up, and they're not doing well at home, and that's just going to be a nightmare because the last couple of months of the season, they're going to be on the road all the time.
They still have to get acclimated to that stadium. I think it's a negative, to be honest with you. It's a huge negative. Like, these guys, they come out of the gate cold with the like that, and then you play real road games? I'd say that's a very, very bad, like, you want to talk about a betting angle? I'd be all over these guys. Like, I think it's not good for Tampa Bay at all. Very negative.
But also remember, that's George Steinbrenner Field is built as Yankee Stadium is. So it's built for left-handers, not where Tropicana Field was built really for as a pitcher's ballpark there. So, you know, they didn't change their team around to take advantage of that because they hope it's only a one-year thing. Although everything I hear is it's not going to be ready next year either.
No, yeah.
So maybe they should have built their team as more left-handed hitting heavy year. But that's another way to look at your prop bets here.
Well, if there's ever a reason for them to build a new stadium, like, no one even liked that stadium. So you can't fix that stadium. Like, you were going to move. Like, no, you were literally going to move. So it was almost like, listen, Milton did it for us, all right? It's done. The stadium's done. We got to build a stadium or we lose the team. Just point blank now. I've always thought Orlando was just going to come in with their Disney money. I heard they wanted to. Montreal, you know, it's all talk. Like, you know what I mean? There was talk of Montreal and stuff. I just don't see it happening. But, I mean, they can't redo that stadium. Nashville, potentially, yeah.
Portland?
And or, you know what? Maybe Sacramento. does so well supporting the A's that they want in after.
That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Test case there.
Yeah. Like and the thing with Sacramento is, guys, they're spending money. Like Sacramento State football just raised like $100 million for a new stadium. Like the city of Sacramento, they got this baseball team coming in. Like they pursued it. Like Sacramento is spending money. So I wouldn't be surprised once they get a taste of big league action, they want in after.
I think it'd be nice, though, guys. I know it's probably not going to happen, but Portland, like to have, like, you know, you have like the Seattle and Toronto. It'd be, but the Portland's.
It rains too much on Portland.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the Pacific Northwest.
It's not, it's not big enough. It's not big enough, Portland.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Moretzi. First half continuing right now in Boulder, so it's some real late-night action going on. 37-32. So the Buffaloes just keep chipping away, gradually getting back into this basketball game after they were getting lit up early. So 37-32. The Sacramento Kings, speaking of Sacramento, Sacramento are winning 91-74. And I actually like the A's this year. I talked about this last month or whatever when the win totals came out. It was, let's check in. It was like 70.5, 71.5. Let me check and see what it is currently. I like this A's team. We went over their roster. They have a ton of young talent. They came on at the the second half. They can hit the baseball, this team, right? And speaking of overs, this is going to be like some serious, there's going to be a lot of overs in Sacramento. The ball is going to travel there. And I was reading, I talked about this like last year when they announced this. It was San Francisco Giants. I think it was the San Francisco Giant players. I think it was Sacramento was their team. And they were saying, like, man, every game was like 14-10 and stuff like that. Like, it's a home run. It's going to be a home run fest out there. So that sort of nullifies things a little bit. You know, it could be a little bit chaotic and not always the home team. Doesn't always work out for them. But I like this A's team this year. The only thing is, I kind of like everyone in this division, to be honest. It's a bad division. But I like those win totals. Yeah, the A's are 71.5 right now. I'm in the extreme minority and believe in the Angels can also win. What's the Angels total right now? It was the same thing. It was like 70.5 and stuff. 72, eh? Okay, let me see if I can get a better number here. So, yeah, I got a 71.5 at minus 130. All right. Man, they can't all win.
Can anyone name three of the Angels' starting pitchers? Hell, how about two?
Kikuchi.
By the way. Kikuchi, I can name him.
Who else they got?
We went over this the other day.
Are they going to take any guy from their bullpen and throw him in there, like Bedrosian or one of those guys?
It's a tough one. I'm not looking yet. I haven't looked it up yet here, but like they signed Tyler Anderson off the top of my head. Remember we talked about that, Kurtz?
Tyler Anderson. Yes.
There's one other guy that you'd have to remember, but he's been a starting pitcher in baseball forever.
Kyle Hendricks.
He sucks. And then you got Soriano in a name, or what, Kachanowicz?
Jack
No.
Got a
and
problem.
Trout's not playing 160. Yeah, 100,
what? Who? I've got a problem.
And they did bring in Soler as well. So you got Soler DH.
But, you know, they lost Anthony Rendon. What a shame.
He's always never there, so.
As a jerk.
Kenley Jansen. They signed Kenley Jansen, too.
Wow.
Other than fantasy, I'm not going to care about Kenley Jansen all that much. But I don't know. I think they're a bad team. I don't. They got some nice youngsters.
Can they get to 70? You know, they got to get to 72, though, right? So you're saying you don't think they can get to 72?
No. I think they're not White Sox bad, but they're bad.
They won like 69 last year, didn't they? Let me see. What did the Angels win last year?
They were
pretty close to this.
2024.
And with the injury, let's see, what were they last year? They were
63.
Oh, okay, that's low. That's right. I need a 9-game improvement.
A 9-game? That's a lot of games.
Better. Texas is better. Houston's worse. Yeah. Seattle's about the same.
The play is Baltimore under 88.5.
Agreed. That's
where I'm leaving this show and I'm hitting it again. Sorry, Orioles.
No way. You live with that.
Yourself. I mean, absolutely. With all that young talent, how do you not have a pitching staff? And you let Corbin Burns go. I mean, and it's a new owner. It's not even Angelo.
You still got to play against Boston, the Yankees, the Jays, and the Rays. It's not easy, man. And they're way worse.
That's what I don't understand is, remember, Angelos, they were so happy when Angelos is gone, and then the team gets good, and then the new owner comes in, and it's like even cheaper than Angelos. He's like, oh, yeah, we're not keeping these players.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're and cheap. Angelo's got so much money from Washington too. When Washington moved there, he made them like go on his network and stuff. Like, they're all smart businessmen, these owners, but like they don't care about winning, right? And then they blame the Mets and Dodgers after. Oh, it's not fair. It's like, dude, whatever, bro. You're rich. You just don't want to spend the money on the team. All right, great stuff with Kurtz. Next, all of our guests. We'll see you on the Twisted Tuesday. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.